Hallelujah. Well, as you know, we've been getting into a series on the teaching of God's love and forgiveness, and particularly around offence, and just sort of dealing in that area of offence. And of course, we've been seeing that God's love is a little bit different to other types of love, isn't it? It's a conditional love so often. Other types of love is, I'll love you if you love me, you know, whereas God's love is unconditional, isn't it? His love has been extended out to every person. For some people, their concept of love is simply that, is that I'm not going to give it until I receive it. Know what I'm talking about? Well, these are the things that we've been talking about, and we need to understand that that's not the love of God. Yeah, God's love is extended out even when it's not reciprocated. And of course, it's interesting. God's love is a forgiving love. It's a giving thing, God's love, in our lives. And when we love like He loves, we reach people with God's love. When we love like He loves, that's a challenge for us all, is to love Him when we're not loved back. We have been seeing over the weeks that, you know, even in areas of offence, we've touched in on those areas of offence and forgiveness, where it's, you know, not, you know, where the Bible describes in 1 Corinthians 13 how that love is not easily offended. You know, not easily. In fact, you know, you've ever met someone who's just so easily offended. You know, you just rub them the wrong way once and they're just always prickly and touchy. And of course, that's not... particularly in 1 Corinthians 13, not the love of God that's being described. It's actually not easily offended. You know, and just make a note, and I do want to make a note about this, is that we can still love people with God's love and have healthy boundaries. Everyone know about healthy boundaries? Healthy boundaries. God's love is not about just letting bad behaviour go. You know, sometimes, you know, you need to be able to say, hey, that's bad behaviour. I don't really want that. Who's had to do that? I'm not going to be treated that way. You know, and you've actually had to stand your ground a little bit. Amen? Well, you know, that's very important. God's love is not just about letting, you know, people behave badly and just treat you badly. Johnson, bless his heart, at home, if we want something done differently... And you know, that's a correction, so maybe he's left something out that I wanted put away on a regular basis, something I say to Johnson, God bless him, and encourage him to do something about that. One of his favourite sayings, and it's always tongue-in-cheek, is, why don't you love me? Which is a funny one, you know, because, you know, it's not about love, you know. Discipline and correction and all those things is not saying I don't love you. It's saying actually it's tough love, isn't it? Really, you know, when you bring a bit of correction and ensure that your boundaries are being ensured. You know, leadership in the local church need to have and maintain boundaries as well. And of course, you know, you from time to time you might see pastors needing to correct and admonish, but still love with the love of God. And of course, that love of God is with a forgiving love. It's not counting sins against someone. You know, it's not, you know, keeping a record as the Bible teaches us. When we got into this a little bit, you just have to forgive me for time. I'll have to race through it a little bit. But 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20 and 21, I'll start by turning this on. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20. We looked at this last week, and you know, just before we get into the word, why don't we just close our eyes for a minute and just pray and ask the Lord a blessing. Father, we do thank you for your word, Lord God, and we thank you that your word touches hearts today, Lord God. We thank you for the message, Father, today, Lord God, that brings revelation, Lord God, from your word, Lord. Lord, that we would rise up with revelation in our lives, Father God. Lord, that it would be that light that shines on darkness in areas that need the light shined on them, Father. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the manifestation of your spirit to bring revelation knowledge into our lives and hearts today. And we commit ourselves now, Father God, to receiving your word and give it all the respect due to it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 1 John 4, verse 20 to 21, it says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. We looked at this last week, didn't we? For the person who does not love his brother he has seen cannot love the God he has not seen. Wow. And we have this command from him. The one who loves God must also love his brother. You could say sister as well there if you, you know, read between the lines. Definitely need to be able to say, I need to be able to love my brother and my sister no matter what. Last week we considered that woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, thrown at the feet of Jesus. And of course the religious people of the day, if you remember rightly, in testing Jesus, said she deserves to die because of her sin. But Jesus gave them another perspective, and I like this different perspective. He answered that challenge, because it was a test to what he would do in a difficult situation. He answered the challenge by disqualifying the woman's accusers. I like that. You know, he disqualified those that were trying to accuse her of doing the wrong thing. Instead of focusing on what she deserved, he focused on what we all deserve. Isn't it interesting? You know, and that really stops you from going further down that track. We had a lecturer in Bible college used to always say, when you point the finger at someone, there's three pointing back at you. Like that, those three. All right, pointing back at you and saying, hey, wait a minute. You know, who are you to condemn? No one could argue that this woman was not loved by Jesus. There's no question about that. Jesus loved her where she was, and that's one of our catchphrases here at Victory Life Broome, is about loving people where they are. You know, because sometimes we're not always where we should be, are we? You know, we're on our way, we're making progress, and maybe sometimes we're going the other way, but people should be loved where they are. And as we've mentioned before, that doesn't mean that we don't have boundaries, that we don't, you know, enforce those boundaries as though, no, this is how we like it here, you know, and all those kind of things, or in our own lives where we say, no, I'm not going to, you know, I'm just, there's a bit of a boundary here, and you actually then confirm that with the other person. But still love, and that's the challenge for us all. Jesus didn't compromise with her sin as well, and that's what we need to understand. Love just doesn't compromise with sin. He told her to go and sin no more, didn't he? You know, and we saw that. Well, just hang on a second there. If Jesus told her not to sin anymore, how is that love? And of course, this is what we're seeing. How is that accepting? Some people make the mistake of thinking that if God is forgiving their sin, he is somehow accepting their sin. Now, that needs to be corrected as well. That's not correct. If God's forgiving us of our sin, it doesn't mean that he's accepting of our sin if we're missing the mark. Forgiving us of our sin means we're not condemned for our sin. But in being free from the penalty of sin, now get this, in being free, we talked about this even prophetically this morning as the worship team led us there. Free from the penalty of sin, being free from the penalty of sin, we should now seek to overcome the power of sin in our lives. You know, that the temptations, those areas where there's bondages and we're bound. We should seek to overcome sin in those areas, because what he does, he brings us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, where he reigns in our life. Amen? He reigns in our life, and we can receive his strength and overcome, and by his grace, overcome temptations, overcome compromises, overcome weaknesses. And it does. It takes a bit of attention. It takes some, you know, I was sharing as we came out of prayer this morning, you know, how that when I was first saved, smoking was a bondage in my life. But I found that what it was that set me free from smoking was not so much feeling condemned about it, but actually realizing that God wanted me set free from that. So, you know, in being set free from condemnation, I'm now free to overcome the power of those weaknesses in my life. Because I'm not sitting there thinking, oh, well, God's not on my side. No, he is on my side. And he wants the best for me. And he wants to see me rising up and having victory in my life. The Bible says also, and we must remember this, the Bible says, you know, that we're not to use our liberty as a license to sin. In other words, he set us free, but it wasn't so that we could go out and just party in the flesh and have, you know, just do what we like and enjoy what we enjoy. as far as the flesh is concerned and those areas of carnality. John chapter 3 and verse 17, 18, and we should know these scriptures. We looked at them a little bit there last week, but just in recapping, it says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Get the sequence. He sets us free from condemnation so that we can then overcome. Then what it says in verse 18, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned." That's the thing that will condemn you, is not believing on Jesus. Hence, we have a message that we take out, and that is to bring people to Christ, to bring people into his kingdom where they're free from that condemnation. "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." So we are commanded to love like Jesus loves. And so very important. In fact, Jesus brought that new commandment, John 13, verse 34, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you." How do we love one another? As I have loved you. So, you know, it's that loving you and forgiving you, etc. So we see that. He went on to say that that love would be the identifying quality in a Christian's life. He said, "By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Where should God's love first of all be seen? I tell you, in the church, among the brethren, among the brothers and sisters is where we should see love at its best. Loving one another, Jesus said, would be an identifying quality in the Christian's life. You know, I love to see those scriptures, how Jesus clearly demonstrated and taught in the new commandment. One day, another religious person, a lawyer, comes and asks Jesus what they must do to inherit eternal life. And he did that to test Jesus, and we can see it there in Luke chapter 10. And it says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus answered and said, 'What is written in the law? How read you?' And he answering said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said unto him, 'You have answered right. This do, and you shall live.'" Well, Jesus says that's the right answer. So it's a passage. This is a particularly interesting passage of scripture that comes from the book of Deuteronomy that the lawyer actually quotes. This specific verse is called in Judaism, it's actually called the Shema. All right, turn to your neighbor and say Shema. Shema, which means listen. Listen or obey. And the Jews actually pray this on a daily basis. Actually pray this. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with your mind, with all your might, and your neighbor as yourself." That last little bit's tacked on. But what they do is they pray that part, "Shall love the Lord your God with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your soul." And then they tack on the back of it other verses out of the Torah. And out of the Old Testament. And of course, it's interesting to see here. It's like an oath that is affirmed daily. Very interesting, isn't it? Moses gives this instruction as they are about to go into the promised land. The second giving of the law, they've come through the wilderness. All of that's all, you know, behind them now. And they're about now to go into the promised land. And he gives the second giving of the law. And it's this particular passage is what Jesus said is the right answer when the lawyer is asked. And it's interesting that the lawyer adds on what we've come to know as the golden rule. He tacks that on from another place. Look in Luke 10:27 right there. And he says, and he answers, "You should love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind." He tacks on, "and your neighbor as yourself." Now he gets that. What we've come to know is the golden rule. Who's heard of the golden rule before? Six of us. The golden rule. Come on, sure of it. Most of you would have heard of the golden rule before. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you is the golden rule. And you can look it up. But it's over there also in Leviticus, and it says in verse chapter 19, verse 16 to 18, this is the giving of the law again there. It says, do not spread slanderous gossip among your people. Wow, here's the law. Do not stand idly by when your neighbor's life is threatened. I am the Lord. Do not nurse hatred in your heart for any of your relatives. Confront people directly so you will not be held guilty for their sin. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against a fellow Israelite, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. That's where the golden rule comes from. From Judaism over into Christianity, the golden rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Treat others the way that you would have them treat you. Isn't it good? Our actions towards others is then guided by how you'd like to be treated by someone else. We start to live out of that, that desire. If I was in this situation, I would want someone to treat me this way, so I'm going to treat them this way. It's a great strategy. Look what it says in Matthew 7, verse 12, the golden rule. If in everything then do, this is Jesus speaking, in everything then do to others as you would have them do to you. How do you want to be treated? Well, then start treating people with that same type of approach and treatment. That's a good thing. Let's go back to Luke. The lawyer is still trying to test Jesus. He's not finished yet. And asks this next question. And who is my neighbour? Who is my neighbour, he says. And we'll go back there. But willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbour? In other words, well, we've got to define that first before we start, being good to people and being nice and loving people. Who is my neighbour? I've got neighbours. How about you? But we're all neighbours, aren't we? We're all kind of next door to each other in this life. And of course, in answer, Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I like this parable. The parable of the Good Samaritan serves as a reminder of how giving we should be. That's what the parable of the Good Samaritan is about, how giving we should be. And remember, forgiving is a type of giving, isn't it? You think about that. Forgiving is a type of giving because sometimes we're giving something that hurts to give. When you've got to forgive someone who's hurt you? It kind of hurts. Well, give till it hurts. That's the truth today to take home. When it comes to forgiving, give till it hurts. There are three types of people featured in the parable, and it's worth just looking at these three types of people. There's the robbers, they who say, what's yours is mine. Anyone know what I'm talking about? There's robbers out there who will take what's yours and say, because they want it to be theirs. They're saying, what's yours is mine. The priest and the Levite, they say, the religious people, they say, what's mine is mine. I'm hanging on to it. I'm keeping it. It's with me and it's staying with me. The Good Samaritan are those who say, what's mine is yours. It's the giving ones, the ones that want to give, that want to be a blessing to others. The parable is about being generous in our giving to others, doing unto others as we would really want them to do to us. And bless us. And of course, it fits perfectly into our teaching on loving people where they are. And Jesus, as we look at it, Jesus answering and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And of course, they're the ones that says, well, what's yours is mine. I'll take from you. So what's the answer? Lock your doors, lock your car, get an alarm system, get a dash cam, get some surveillance up, that's, really what we have to do is because they're out there. People who say, what's yours is mine and I'll take it from you. And it goes on to say, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. What's mine is mine, hanging on to mine. And of course his mine might have been his schedule, his money, it might have been what he had, didn't want to give it, didn't want to let go of it, didn't want to give till it hurt. And he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So you both got a priest and a Levite who are saying, what's mine is mine. I'm going to hang on to it. I'm not going to be generous. I'm not going to be giving. And I'm certainly not going to be forgiving. In verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, now this is a stranger from the covenant of God, you know, someone who's not even in the kingdom, you know what I mean, as far as the Jews were concerned. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had what? Compassion. Good word, Paul, this morning, about compassion. He had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever you spend more when I come again, I will repay you. And Jesus asked, which now of these 3 think you was a neighbour unto him that fell among the thieves? Good word, isn't it? You know, Jesus told some great stories. I like Jesus' stories, you know. And this is one of his good ones I like. And he said to him, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do likewise. Remember, the guy was asking, his original question was, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? You know, eternal life. What must I do? He's talking about lifestyles, having that same heart, you know, that same loving like Jesus loves heart that we're talking about. And of course, the mission of the church on the earth remains the same to this day. Showing the love of God, loving people where they are, reaching them with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and what about him? What part of it are we sharing? And I like 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, get this part, no longer counting people's sins against them. How should we love? Same way. Not counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. The message of reconciliation, we've been talking about it since prayer this morning, all the way through worship, all the way through communion, this wonderful message of reconciliation, which is simply this: it doesn't matter how bad you've been, God's love is still extended toward you. There's no one that you're going to meet in your life that is too bad for the gospel to penetrate and change a person and transform them into new life. There's no one that you're going to meet that can't be reached by the love of God. I'll tell you what it is that we, the church, have got to wake up to the ministry of reconciliation. That's the real truth, isn't it? We've got to get a hold of it and realize that God wants to reconcile in Christ people to himself, bring us into his family, bringing many sons and daughters to glory. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? I think some of us are still sort of needing that second coffee. I'm not sure this morning. But I tell you what, this ought to wake us up like a second coffee, double shot, you know, wake us up to our real purpose. You know, what we are here as a church for is to reach the lost, reach those that are not yet reconciled to him, to God, through Christ Jesus. So we are Christ's ambassadors. When was the last time you walked out the front door thinking that you were like an ambassador representing the kingdom of God? We need to get back to that. You know, if we've left it behind, if we've stopped doing that, if we're not thinking that way when we jump in the car and drive down the street, but to think like an ambassador. And the good thing about ambassadors is that they are here with immunity. Most of them, you speak to an ambassador from another country and they've got diplomatic immunity. That's an interesting thing. We have immunity, you know, and of course we can walk in a certain grace and blessing. But, we're here to represent our nation. You know, what are we? We are a peculiar people. A holy nation, you know, and we ought to represent it. We ought to go out as much as possible and speak about the kingdom, speak about our Heavenly Father, speak about our Lord Jesus Christ whenever we get the chance, because it's him that's transformed us. And you know what? those gifts, those blessings that he's brought into our life are not so much to us, but through us, you know, to bring to others, to share with others, and to be praying about it. You say, oh, I'm not really good at witnessing. Who is, you know? But you've got to seize the opportunities when they arise. Take a hold of them, you know. Pray and ask the Lord to use you. And you watch, the Lord will use you to share and bring about. Look what it says. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. Very, very plain. God is making his appeal through us, you and I. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we might be made right with God through Christ. Tell you, church, love remains foundational, both as individuals in our own lives and as a church fulfilling its God-given mission. Love remains foundational. If we're going to build, anything, we better build on love, because otherwise we're just a club. We're just a club doing our own thing with our own interests and all just being rude. This is what makes us all the same, is we love one another as Christ loved us. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's the glue. We saw this last week. It was the bond of perfection. It's the glue that holds us together, is loving one another. Not so much pointing out each other's differences, but realizing what it is that makes us the same. So God loved you just like he loved me. And he's changed my life in such a way that I can talk about it and testify about it, and you can as well. Change your life as well, and he's testify about it, testify about the love of God. And that's what we need to be doing, is not just holding it to ourselves, but sharing it with others. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, you've been a very quiet audience today. I think there's a few things to think about today, maybe. I'm not sure, but God bless you all. And I just really pray that word takes root in your hearts today. Why don't we all just stand and we'll just pray a prayer and ask the Lord to just really seal that in our lives today. And, you know, just by the Holy Spirit, if any one of us here today need to take action, need to do something different than what we've done before or what we've been doing, we're just going to ask the Lord to reveal that. Father, we again thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, that it does give life, Father. Your life-giving word, Lord, we thank you for it. And Lord, we're so glad because it's the new life that it gives, the new life in Christ, Father. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit today, Lord God, and we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just move and minister and touch lives and hearts today through your word, Father. Lord, that if there be anything that we shouldn't do is condemn ourselves. Because, Lord, you're not a condemning God. We thank you. It's so clear in your word, Father. But we're concerned for those that are already condemned, Father. We're concerned for those that are outside this church, who, Father, and outside churches across the Kimberley region who are yet to hear the gospel of their salvation. We're concerned for them, Father, and we ask, Lord God, that you might use us. We determine, Lord God, that we're ambassadors representing this holy nation, representing, Father God, your kingdom. And of course, going out with your love in our hearts, Lord, not counting sin, not holding people to their past, Father, but just releasing people. Father, you want a church that's forgiving, Lord God, that forgives as you forgave us. And Lord, we pray that you work a work within us by your Spirit. Lord, we might be that church, Lord, greatly used of you to touch and reach other lives, Father, for the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone that agreed, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.